I had no idea how many people would come to this. I don't know if the word got out that we would do some light activity today. So hopefully you all can do some, at least getting out of your chair at least. I gave you a brochure. We're calling this series, I was asked to present this, but I thought you wouldn't want to hear me talk for 5 days. And so I asked four other people that work in our facility. And you'll see in your brochure that tomorrow, Dr. Ruben Lawrenson, most of you know him, he's right here today. He'll be presenting. His topic is primarily on...
Well, it's lifestyle. I'm going to talk particularly about aerobic exercises and eye health.
All right. And then the next day, I believe Klaus Ergang, he works in our physical education facility. He's in charge of the wellness program. He'll be speaking. And then the day after that, we have a lady that is a massage therapist, and she has been there, Shirley, what, 3 years now? 2 years? 3 years? And Shirley does all her bookings, and she is booked into next decade almost. So she's very good, and she'll have you learn about massage, actually do some as well. And the very last day, one of our personal trainers that works in our facility, Candace Saylor, she'll be here, and she'll be bringing a lot of light dumbbell weights with her because you're going to be doing some activity. So each of these days will be some hands-on activity. As Peter said, my name is Ron Schaefer. I've been teaching at CUC now for 34 years. It's been forever. One class that I taught for many, many, many years was health and fitness. And so I called this a health and fitness series. It was my favorite class to teach. Then I ended up having too many other things on my plate and they gave it away to somebody else, but it's still my favorite. So I'm glad to be here to kind of get my feet wet again, I guess, teaching health and fitness. I want to just share a couple things with you before we start, not even related to the topic at all today. If this was a regular class, we would always have a worship thought. This isn't a worship thought per se, but it's got some good ideas, some good principles to think about. And I will share a worship thought concept with you as well. Said Mildred, this is a little thing to kind of help you understand about how we sometimes jump to conclusions. Mildred, the church gossip and self-appointed monitor of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several members did not appreciate her extracurricular activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made the mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his old pickup parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She emphatically told George and several others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment, then just turned and walked away. He didn't explain, defend, or deny. He said nothing. But later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and walked home, leaving it there all night. Now, if you're a student in any school, you've got to be resourceful. And as you get out of school, you've got to be resourceful as well. I wouldn't recommend this to you, but this is very interesting. It supposedly is true. Outside of England's Bristol Zoo, there's a parking lot for about 150 cars and 8 buses. For 25 years, its parking fees were managed by a very pleasant attendant. The fees for cars are about $1.40 and the buses about $7. Then, one day, after 25 solid years of never missing a day of work, he didn't show up. So the zoo management called city council and asked if they would send them another parking agent. The council did some research and replied that the parking lot was the zoo's own responsibility. The zoo advised the council that the attendant was a city's employee. The city council responded that the lot attendant had never been on the city payroll. Meanwhile, sitting in his villa somewhere off the coast of Spain or France or Italy is a man who apparently had a ticket machine installed completely on his own and then simply began to show up every day for work, commencing to collect and keep the parking fares, estimated at about $560 per day for 25 years. Assuming 7 days a week, this is just over $7 million, and no one even knows his name. And one more I will share with you, and I should have told you this to start with. I went to hear a cardiologist speak in Philadelphia a number of years ago. He listed the three most important things to keep yourself healthy and fit the rest of your life. What do you think they were? What would be one that would be on the list for sure? Exercise. Exercise was one, but this lady here nailed it. The other two you wouldn't necessarily guess. The other two were, exercise was number one. Number two was to have a deep and meaningful relationship with at least two other people. And the third one was to laugh hard at least 3 times a day. So this is a chance to just laugh a little bit here. One last one before I share an actual worship thought. No, this is once again being resourceful. An old Italian man lived alone in the country. He wanted to dig his tomato garden, but it was very hard work and the ground was very hard. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him dig, was in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. "Dear Vincent, I feel very badly because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I know that if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know that you'd be happy to dig the plot for me." A few days later, he received a letter from his son. "Dear Dad, don't dig up the garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the entire garden without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. The same day, the old man got another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny." All right. So, thinking outside the box, being resourceful is a good idea. Last reading before we start into our topic. And I don't know, when I got a pastor uncle here that could correct me on this theology, I'm not sure if it's correct, but it was a reading I got off the internet, and it sounds like it's got some good lessons for us. And if this is not correct, you'll correct me later, okay? He always does. The Gospel of John 27 tells us that the napkin that was placed over the face of Jesus was not just thrown aside like grave clothes. The Bible takes an entire verse to tell us that the napkin was neatly folded and was placed on the head, was placed at the head of that stony coffin. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. I do not know where they have put him." Peter and the disciples ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. A good lesson in aerobic conditioning, obviously. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded and laying to the side. Was that important? Absolutely. Is it really significant? Yes. In order to understand the significance of the folded napkin, you have to understand a little bit about Hebrew tradition of that day. The folded napkin had to do with the master and the servant, and every Jewish boy knew this tradition. When the servant set the table for the master, he made sure that it was exactly the way the master wanted it. The table was furnished perfectly, and then the servant would wait just out of sight until the master would finish eating, and the servant would not dare touch the table until the master was finished. Now, if the master was done eating, he would rise up from the table, wipe his finger, his mouth, clean his beard, would wad up the napkin and toss it on the table. The servant would know then to clear the table, for in those days, a wadded napkin meant, "I'm finished." But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it beside his plate, the servant would not dare touch the table, because a folded napkin meant, "I'm coming back." Interesting. All right, well, Peter already had prayer for us, so we'll move on. The topic today is physical fitness, and I'd like to ask you, if you were to list, or if you were to define physical fitness, what would it be? Who could give me a definition of physical fitness? We're not talking fitness now, and the text that I always use in my health and fitness class, Luke 2:52. Who can tell me what that says off the top of your head? Sharp, speak up real nice and loud for us. That was our key text for the class, because in that text, there's a four-dimensional approach to well-being. Okay, the text was Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." A text that most of us learned as a memory verse. All four dimensions of total fitness are in that text. Jesus increased in wisdom. What is that? Mental fitness. And in stature? Physical. And in favor with God? Spiritual, and man? Social. So all four of those listed in that text, and that gives us pretty good support that if it was good enough for Christ to develop that way, then we should as well. So don't say spiritual is part of physical fitness. That's part of fitness. Now we're going to talk today about physical fitness. What are the pieces of physical fitness that when put together make you as physically fit as you can be? Speak a little louder. Okay, exercise is a very, very broad term. So we got to be more specific. Okay, well, that was in that text that says mental, spiritual, physical, social, but we're now talking physical fitness. If I want to make my body strong, now someone said it, and by far the most important, and I'm old school, so I'm not going to use PowerPoint for this. I'm going to get Ruben to cardiovascular fitness can be defined as the condition of my heart, my blood vessels, and my lungs. Why would this be the most important, by far, physical fitness component? It has to do with what? When your heart stops, how long do you live? About 4 minutes. 3 to 4 to 5 minutes, and then you're dead. So when your heart stops, you are in big trouble. So Ruben's going to paste these up on the wall so we can still see them. So cardiovascular fitness, that's if you're only going to do one, that's the one you want to do, because your heart keeps you alive. And if you don't have a healthy heart, you're not around very long. All right. What's another one? Anybody else have another one? Starts with F. No, food would be in a different category, not physical fitness. Flexibility. Flexibility could be defined as the range of motion available at a given joint. How many here, if you've gotten older, found yourself becoming less flexible? Absolutely. Reaching down to tie those shoes is a little bit more difficult now than it used to be. Yeah. I was stepping up in the back of my truck yesterday thinking, this step is getting higher every time I try it. Yeah, they sure are. So flexibility, another very important one. The range of motion available at your joints. I might be going too fast for you, but he'll catch up. Now, muscular fitness. That'd be another one. Could be in two categories. One could be muscular endurance. That would be how long you can lift a weight. And muscular strength would be how much I can lift. Strength is always defined as how much you can lift one time. Most of us at our ages wouldn't be trying to do our maximum bench press. But we want to try to do lighter weight over a longer period of time. So muscular fitness is extremely important. Probably number two on the list, because it's your muscles that make your body function. And if your muscles are not functional, you lack energy, you lack function, you can't do the things that you want to do throughout the day. So that's... Oh, don't be fancy with that. Just pin them on the corner. You don't have to be... This guy is getting real fancy. And something that Klaus is going to talk about, a fourth one, is called body composition. Body composition is how much lean tissue do I have relative to how much fat tissue I have. Any idea, if you were a male athlete, how much body fat you'd want to have? Well, that'd be quite a bit for a male athlete. Mid to upper single digits. Minimum for guys is 3%. Anything less than 3%, you start to have health issues. And if you have 3% body fat, all you can pinch is skin off of your body. But male athletes would like to have upper to mid single digits. How much more fat do women have than men, naturally? 10% more. So women would like to be in the mid upper teens. Unfortunately, in our society, most of us are well, well past that. Here's a little rule of thumb. Still an athlete? This is not a young crowd here, so I can't pick on, but if you were a young college crowd, they say that a guy should be able to pinch as much fat on his eyebrow as he can on his stomach. A lot of us have got fairly big eyebrows down here, don't myself included. So body composition is how much fat we have relative to tissue, and on Wednesday, I believe it is, Klaus Ergang will talk about this concept of body composition. But now we get to some ones that we don't often think about when we talk about physical fitness, and this is the theme of today's talk. Those first four are called health-related physical fitness components. They are the ones that directly affect our health. There's an athlete, still. And a young one. Maybe the youngest one here. Good for you. Those first four are called health-related, but the next ones I'm going to give you, anywhere you want, just so we can see them. Anywhere, you pick them wherever you want to go. The next ones are called skill-related, and they are fitness components that are extremely important, but are developed as we play activities. How many here play some kind of game at least once a week? Some kind of game. I mean, a physical game, not Scrabble. Not Scrabble. No. This is not his class in Scrabble. Okay, we're talking, how many play a physical game at least once a week? Anybody? Couple? What game do you play?
Soccer. I have 3 kids.
Good, good. How many remember playing when you were a kid? How many were in better shape when you were a kid? Well, today you'll see a video here in a few minutes called Never Leave the Playground. It's an amazing concept, but it's not a concept that's new to us. It's the idea that as we have decreased our play, that probably is what caused us to become more and more physically unfit. Most of us, as we get older, think if I just go for a walk, that's all that I need to do. And that's extremely good. In fact, walking is considered the best exercise. Why is that? It can work the whole body, but what activity gets by far the most heart rate? No, what's considered the best aerobic exercise, period?
Swimming.
No, not swimming.
Sorry.
Nope. What kind of skiing? Cross-country skiing rates number one for cardiovascular fitness, but why is that not the best exercise? It requires snow, it requires skill, it requires equipment. Not practical if you live in Southern California, right? Swimming is really good for people with bad joint issues because you have a lot of buoyancy in the water and you don't have so much impact in your joints. But if you can't swim, not so good. The reason that walking is the best exercise is that anybody can do it anywhere without any equipment and any learned skills, the skills that we were born with, basically. So that's why we always list walking as the best, although it doesn't meet physiological best requirements, but it certainly is a very good exercise. But if that's all you do for exercise, you're gonna rob your body of a lot of really important physical fitness components that we wouldn't otherwise get unless we play games. So here are some of them. Who can give me one? Let's just maybe see if some of you can grab these off the top of your head. A physical fitness component that would be involved in a game that would be very important to have. If I could change directions quickly, what would I call that?
Agility.
The ability to change directions quickly. Do you play that in soccer? Does that happen in soccer? Big time. Badminton? Big time.
Tennis?
Oh, huge. Archery? Not so much. But in most games where we run, agility is huge for physical fitness. Okay? That's for Ruben. There's another one. Starts with the letter P. Who knows what it would be? Chad? Power. What is power defined as? Power is strength with a time component. Strength done quickly. If I go for a walk, am I doing a powerful activity?
No.
If I go for a jump, I do, though. Instead of walking, if I jump along on 2 feet... Power walk, they call it power walking because it's faster, but power has to be explosive movements. So when you jump, that's power. So strength done quickly is power. Another very important part of physical fitness. Here's another one. And if you play soccer or basketball or lots of sports, hockey, baseball, accuracy, being able to hit a target, that's really important as well. Do you have any accuracy developed in walking? Hopefully you can stay on the sidewalk, but other than that, there's not much accuracy. Okay, so it's a good one for developing accuracy would be things like badminton, tennis, all the games that we play have accuracy. Rhythm, repetitive contraction of muscles. Well, obviously we get that when we go walking. Basketball would be huge in rhythm. Swimming is huge in rhythm. All kinds of sports have rhythm. Here's one, coordination. Coordination is the proper sequential contraction of muscles. So if I can type, tremendous coordination in my fingers, it doesn't do much for my body. But if I can juggle, that's great coordination. If I can play basketball, swing a golf club, they say that the golf swing is the most complex single movement we do in sport. So a very complicated movement. But to be able to do that golf swing takes a lot of coordination. Okay, coordination is the proper sequential contraction of muscles. We're going to get to that just in a couple seconds here. So I'm not putting you off, but I will get to that. Okay? Here's one that you probably don't think of very much, you don't even know the name probably, called kinesthetic awareness. This is knowing where your body is in space. What games would be, or what activities would be big on this one? Gymnastics is huge. Diving. All the trick skiing they do, double pair skating, knowing where your body is in space. How many here have ever fallen and rolled and not been badly hurt? Did you completely know where you were as you rolled? Maybe one or two, maybe in a car when you rolled a car.
Skiing.
Skiing, sure, when you wipe out. But knowing where your body is in space is an important physical fitness component. Here's one too that you probably haven't heard of before, but you use it all the time. It's called proprioception. Proprioception is differentiating between varying degrees of muscle contraction. If I was to throw a ping pong ball to you, your brain would see the ball coming towards you, and you would catch it with very little effort because the ball is very light. If I threw a big 10-pound rock at you, your muscles would have to tighten up considerably to be able to absorb that impact. So when you're having a ball thrown to you easy, you contract differently than if the ball is thrown to you hard. Here's the best example of how this works. It's all happened to every one of us, guarantee. But walking up the stairs with a box in front of you, can't see the stairs, but you thought another step was there? You do that, right? That's proprioception. The brain didn't know there was one more step there, thought there was, and the muscles were prepared to contract at that point, and it missed it. So that's another part of physical fitness, is being able to differentiate between when you need to contract muscles hard or soft. If you jump off a ledge that's this high, your muscles do a whole lot different landing than if it's this high. So that's proprioception. Well, I'm going to give you a couple more. I can't give them all to you because there's many of them. I'll give you a few here. Speed. Another one. Being able to move quickly from one point to another. How many here have been speedy in the last year? Or do we just get from point A to point B as gently as we can? With your body or your car? What kind of activity? Good, good. Playing with kids. If those kids weren't around, would you be as likely to be speedy? Probably not. That's one. As we get older, this is the one that declines the quickest, the earliest. Most of us lose this the quickest. Speed. Here's one. This is a big one. This is a huge one for people your age, my age, all of us age, except for Kaylee's age. She's got a long way to go yet. Balance. Balance can be in two categories. It can be what we call static balance, being able to maintain an equilibrium while you're stationary, or dynamic balance, being able to maintain equilibrium when you're moving. Probably the best example of very sophisticated dynamic balance is these women that you see every 4 years on the Olympic Games on the balance beam. Little 4-inch wide balance beam. They do round up back handsprings, full twisting double back layouts, and land on that balance beam. Tightrope walkers, if you see any Cirque du Soleil performance, incredible balance. But most of us lose our balance. I'll talk about that in a second as to how that works. But balance is a big one. Why is that a big one for seniors?
Falls.
And when you fall, I just heard yesterday, what was the age? I think over 70 or over 75, which maybe some of you are in that category. Something like 80% of people that fall and have a bad injury at 75 never get back on their own. So it's bad news. And the last one, reaction time. How quickly can you respond to a stimulus? That's another big one when it comes to falls, is reaction time. I could give you quite a few more. There's many more physical fitness components that make up physical fitness. And Ruben, he's running out of space. Just put him anywhere, Ruben. That doesn't have to be in any... Okay. If you look around the room here, you'll see that physical fitness is more than just cardiovascular fitness if you want to be really, really physically fit. I am completely guilty of this. My memory is getting worse. Shirley works at the same building I do, and she knows my memory is as good as bad. But worse than bad. I was told by one of my relatives the other day that they're having trouble with memory. I forget who it was. But there's a big connection between our physical fitness and our mind. We haven't got time to get into all that, but there's a complete intertwined connection between how our body functions and how our mind functions. Some of you may have seen this video. The guy that's on this video, Stephen Jepson, has an organization called Never Leave the Playground. He's an inspiration, and he does travel. He does make live presentations. I'm going to attempt to get him to come to CUC within the fall here and do a presentation at CUC. So any of you that live in the Alberta area here want to come see this guy. But this guy is, in the video, 72, I think, or 71 years old, and he has embrace this concept of physical fitness components that we talked about here, and it has done amazing things for his body. So just take a watch here if you would, and we will see what this guy says.
Oh. Is there a chance that you could be the most interesting man in the world?
No.
That's nice of you to say.
That's nice of you to say that.
To really understand Stephen Jepson, you have to go back about 65 years to the day he said,
"Hey, Mom, there's nothing to do."
And my mother said, "Son, your bed needs making, the lawn needs mowing, and the trash needs carrying out."
From that moment forward, he has never needed anyone or anything to amuse himself. Now in his early 70s, he rides his elliptical bike in the street and spends his days walking slack ropes, throwing knives, and jumping barefooted from rock to rock to rock to rock. Stephen believes the key to a long and healthy life is play. He has a simple philosophy that he calls never leave the playground, and to prove it, he's turned his property into a personal playground where he invents ways to keep his body and mind agile.
My memory has become absolutely intense since beginning to do all this stuff. I don't forget things.
And he never falls. He has the balance of a teenage circus performer, something he's determined to teach others to stem the rising epidemic of life-changing falls.
2 million people are going to fall down and go to the hospital, or to the emergency room. If you fall and break your hip, there's a tremendous number of the population that's going to be dead in a year, and 80% of people who over 65 fall and break their hip are never going to live independently again.
Stephen believes that playground activities are as important for older adults as they are for young children because they build neural pathways, grow brain cells, develop balance and coordination, and are key to preventing Alzheimer's, dementia, and bone-breaking falls.
And when I get really good, I can make them taller, and I can step over these, maybe. That's tougher.
You're an inventor. You're a mad scientist.
I am indeed.
Stephen's inventions include a skateboard that he still rides daily.
And nobody's ever seen anything like this. This is curved this way, and it's also curved this way.
He's also designed, patented, and builds one-of-a-kind kayaks.
What makes it unique? Okay, it's comfortable like your couch at home. It's 12 feet long, and it weighs 15 pounds and 9 ounces, which is extremely light. It's carbon fiber and epoxy. It's in a vacuum bag. It'll take one of those great big coolers in the back, so it has carrying capacity. It's fast, and it tracks well.
And he invented and built what may be the most unusual pair of skates in the world.
I don't know if you can see that, where it says Jepson Rolls, and it's Jepson's my name, of course.
How many people do you know that can do this?
I don't know anybody personally can do it. I have...
Can you?
Oh, I can do it, yeah. I'll demonstrate for you if you want.
To prove it, he runs out into the street, steps on the skates, and takes off. You can almost hear his mother yelling now to get out of the street and away from the traffic. Stephen has always been the creative type. He's a retired college arts professor and a renowned ceramic artist.
I have a piece in the Smithsonian, the National Museum, and I still go around the country and teach it, but I don't make pottery anymore. But thank you very much. Casserole.
And you have a DVD.
I have 9 DVDs. They're sold all over the world. I grab them under that notch.
Selling DVDs all over the world is one thing. Changing the world is another.
I want to change the world. I want to keep people, help people not be so falling down. I want to help people be better, help live longer, healthier, richer lives.
To overcome his fear of falling, he used guy wires to support the vertical ladder.
So I learned to do this. I overcame the fear, because I would get up here and this thing wobbles around, and I'm not used to juggling and wobbling around.
Back on the ground, he jumps back and forth over a rail and throws a ball against the wall.
Catch with my right, throw with my left, catch with my left, throw with my right, switch hands.
He believes developing your non-dominant hand and foot is a key to building brain cells.
But then sometimes I throw like that, and I've never even seen anybody do that. That's what this does. It makes your memory better. It makes you feel just absolutely juiced and jazzed and revitalized.
Sufficiently jazzed, Stephen grabs a couple of old coffee roasting canisters.
I do this with both hands. I try to do it 100 times without dropping.
From there, it's a quick session with jacks, alternating hands, of course, followed by stick flipping.
There's a half turn left hand. There's a full turn left hand. Now, I think I've got them all different lengths. Stephen, when is it too late for someone to start this stuff?
It's never too late. You can do it at any moment in time.
But these are things that old people can't learn.
No, that's not so. That's not so. You can absolutely, you can learn. I have people, old people are sitting down in a chair, and they go like this. They're sitting down in a chair, and they go like this. And then maybe they up the distance like that. And then they stand up and do this. And how high can you go? Oh, these things right here. They are so. You ever seen these things?
They don't bounce right, right?
Oh, no. Anyway, I can do it. See how quick my hands are?
Quick hands and educated feet. Stephen made a board with a piece of pipe on the bottom and drilled a series of holes into the top.
And I numbered them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the reason I numbered it like that was to make it the most difficult to roll around. 3. And I thought this might be great for rehabbing those guys coming back from war that are injured, or that Gabby woman that got her brain ruined by that horrific man out there in Arizona. I thought about writing to her and saying, I can help you. And you just do it as long as you can, as long as you're comfortable.
If juggling on a small bongo board is good, Stephen figures juggling on a big bongo board is better.
I get tired just trying to watch this guy. It's really exhausting living with him.
Well, I'm 55, he's 71, and he runs circles around, but he's inspiring to me.
Be bold. That's what I've been saying to people for years and years. Be bold in your life choices, because it's just going to make your life richer. And I do this with my eyes shut, and I can drive through rush hour traffic on 75 right through Atlanta, steering with my knee, and doing this with both hands.
That, but his message is dead serious. Never leave the playground.
Because it will develop your brain cells. It will cause you to be more creative. It will cause you to be more excited about life. It will improve your memory.
From the second the alarm goes off in the morning till the time we go to bed at night, constant movement and activity.
And before he goes to bed every night, Stephen Jepson, learning theorist, philosopher, inventor, athlete, and kid at heart, writes in his journal. And he admits that most days, he writes pretty much the same thing.
Today, I'll write exquisite, or perfect, or wonderful. There is beauty in almost every day, in almost every person's life, and all you have to do is look for it. It's there. It's there to see and find.
How many are seeing that for the first time? All right, pretty inspiring, huh?
Yeah, incredible.
You've got two kids, one that's kind of like this guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pulling her back. Yeah.
Always moving, right?
Always moving.
And what happens when their kids are always moving? They become more developed or more...
His leg muscles are incredible. Just his fitness ability. He was jumping, he's 3'11", he's jumping 3'7" at track and field.
That's what my wife was saying, this kid is just incredible. But kids at that age, because they play, they get stronger and healthier and more vibrant. But kids that sit and watch TV, what happens to them?
They catch up.
Exactly.
I was just wondering how old he is.
He's 71 in that video.
71.
Yeah. So my point is, as we retire, what do most of us aspire to do?
Relax.
Relax. I should have brought it. I have a picture of a guy who retired because he won the lottery. He was in Australia. And he retired not because he bought a video store, not because he likes to watch videos. Not because he wanted to make a living doing videos. He liked to watch videos. He bought the whole store and sat down for X number of years and watched videos. And when the picture that I have of him, he's now around 600 pounds. He carries his stomach in a wheelbarrow.
Oh.
And that's what happened from sitting. We had a lady come to the weight room a number of years ago, said her husband had retired. He had worked hard physically all his life and decided it was time to relax now. And he had sat for 3 years, and she said he was basically incapacitated. He couldn't do anything. And she was desperately wanting to find a way to get him out of his chair and have him do some activity. Years ago, I saw a video. It was really good. I wish I could have got a copy of it. It was an amazing video of a lady who was bedridden in her late 60s, early 70s. She thought she was dying. And she couldn't do anything for herself. And the doctors checked her over and said, you're just got to start moving. And so she got up and she walked. The first day she decided to be active, she walked from her bed to the wall and back, and then eventually down the hospital corridor and back. When they made the movie 2 years after this diagnosis of being just inactive, she was now living on her own, jogging 2 miles a day, mowing her own grass, and she had gone from being bedridden to being very, very active again. But this idea here of never leaving the playground deals with those physical fitness components that we completely eliminate once we stop being a kid. Can you think of anything that you could do? And I brought a bunch of stuff. We'll do some activity. Time will be short for us here. Can you think of anything that you could do in your day-to-day activity to replicate a little bit of what he's doing here? That's huge, this idea of using both hands. And I haven't got time to get into it, but the research shows conclusively that when you use your non-dominant hand as much as possible, it strengthens your mind, because your mind has to think so much about how that hand has to work that it strengthens the dominant hand as well.
All you have to be being born left-handed.
Yeah, and then use the other hand. But I'm thinking of different things throughout the day.
Sit in a chair and play volleyball.
You can, absolutely. If you live in an old folks' home, I've seen them have beach volleyball or balloon volleyball, where they put balloons and whack them around all over the place. Even kids in a, maybe your son would like that when they're getting kind of bored in a sit-down class in the room, they put balloons in the air, let the kids hit the balloons for a few minutes. Question, one point.
Drying off your feet standing on one foot.
Exactly. Everybody stand up if you would. Let's stand up. Now, you know your own limitations here. And so if you need to balance on a table, by all means do so. All of us should be able to stand on one foot, right? Can we all do that? And you should be able to do it for 15 seconds easily. That would be the norm for people your age, stand on one foot. But chances are some of us will struggle with that. When you're waiting in line, do you ever intentionally stand on one foot?
No.
Let's try the opposite foot. Try your less favorite foot. Okay, this is the beginner version of doing this. Okay, most of us getting pretty good with that. Now, the more advanced version is go up in the ball of your foot. So you're keeping your heel off the floor, and you're now going to stand on that one foot again. Okay, a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Okay, a little bit more difficult. Try your other foot. Okay, other foot. Okay, now that's the next level up. The next level up is go back to a flat foot. And now, once again, know your limitations here. And now close your eyes and balance on that foot with your eyes closed. Okay?
You got the benchmark.
Now, the reason that's so much more difficult is that our body uses the mechanism in our ear to balance, and it also uses pressure points on the ground to balance. When we close our eyes, we can't use our mechanism in our ear very effectively at all. We start to depend upon strictly the muscles in our feet to tell us where our balance points are. And of course, the most advanced version of that is go up in the ball of your foot with your eyes closed. And if you can do that, you're doing well. But do you see on that video, he's walking that slack wire?
Yes.
Have you ever tried that?
Yes.
Just have a seat for a second.
I've been doing at 76.
Good for you. Good for you. The latest trend in fitness everywhere is to have the most unstable surfaces you can. In our fitness center, I just borrowed this morning. I'm going to ask Chad to stand on this for us if he would. It wobbles side to side and front to back. And it spins. A little bit more difficult, isn't it? I just came back. In fact, I got back on Friday evening from Las Vegas. I was at a fitness conference down there. And everybody's making this stuff now. A platform that you can make at different degrees of instability, and you stand on that thing, and then you have a trampoline thing that you throw balls at and try to catch it. And the reason that you want to be unstable in everything is so that the more unstable you are, the more muscle fibers have to contract trying to balance you. Why do people fall over so much when they get older? When you're standing up on the ground, you seem like it's just nothing going on. You're just standing there. But if this was a person, on each side of that person are muscles that will come down, and as this person starts to lean a little bit to one side, the muscle on this side will contract to pull them back. That happens thousands of times per second. We don't even think about it. As we get older, there's three things that cause us to lean too far before the muscles start to pull back and cause us to lose our balance. One is the muscles themselves become weak. So when that muscle, which is supposed to pull me back to this side, is too weak, it can't do that. Reaction time is the biggest one, though. The reaction time, when the muscle does not get the stimulus to contract and pull me back, and I go farther and farther, and it takes so long for that muscle to be stimulated, I fall over. So we lose our balance, we lose our reaction time, we lose our strength, and that's what causes old folks to fall over and get hurt. It's really, really important to work on balance. And there's no reason in the world why we're standing in line. Most of us stand on one foot anyway. Why is that? Why do we shift from one leg to the other? We give rest to the other leg. But instead of standing like this and balancing here, just stand like this. Wouldn't be hard, would it? What about reaction time? What are some things you can do to improve your reaction time?
Roll the ball across the table and see whether you can keep it from going to the ground.
Sure.
First one hand and then the other.
She said, let the ball roll across the table and then try to catch it before it hits the ground. You saw those little weird balls he had. You throw them in the ground and try to grab them. That's reaction time. Chad, I'm going to bore you again. Step up here. I don't recommend you try this necessarily. This is what guys like to do, but where can we do this? Maybe you've seen it. Just turn sideways up here. How many here have played the game slaps before?
Yeah.
So you go like this, and you try to hit them like that, right? Even more fun one, which I was doing with my students on tour this last year, and I was surprised that I was still getting pretty good at it. This one hurts, so I apologize up front. Okay? Okay, and if I miss, then it's his turn. That's kind of maybe a little bit tough to do, but that's the concept of reaction time. Thanks. So last May, we were in Africa with the Akron Airs on tour, and we were at a hotel, and a nice hotel, and for some reason, there was no screens in the windows, and there was flies everywhere. And I was getting quite irritated that my breakfast was being covered by flies, and all of a sudden, I realized, if I can swat those flies, I can work on my reaction time. And I was getting pretty good. So instead of getting all upset about the fact that there's flies around, use that as a great way to increase your reaction time.
Mosquitoes,
yeah, for sure. Here's one little one that is kind of fun to do. Well, Chad, come back up again. I know I can pick on him. This one here doesn't hurt. So what you'll do, you'll start your fingers at a certain number. We'll start a little bit, maybe at 50. All right, and you can have him have his fingers as far apart as you want or as close as you want. When I drop it, he tries to grab it. All right, and each time you can measure, that was 20. All right, start at 50 again. Whoops. Okay, we'll try it one more time. Oh, he's got 30 that time. Just all kinds of things you can do to work on reaction time. Another one that's kind of fun, kids will, usually they'll wreck the stopwatches with doing this, but they'll start at 0, 0 and they try to hit as fast as they can to get the shortest span between the numbers. Lots and lots of different things you can do. All right, we're going to be short of time here. We're supposed to be out of here in about 10 minutes. I brought a whole bunch. I did need to go through a few more of them here with you. I'm just going to see which ones I have time here for. I'm going to give you guys we have enough of these to go around, so take a tennis ball. How can we dump these in another container and pass out two? Take a couple tennis balls each, if you would, and just pass them around. Yeah, take a couple each, yeah. Yeah. We should work on accuracy and coordination, and you can catch them, right? That might be faster. I hope I have enough here for two each, but let's take them. Yeah, take two each if you could.
Yeah, I'll get some for another lady here.
Okay. Oops, sorry. Okay, if you got two, that's good. If you only have one, I got some of these balls here, all kinds of these ones too. Who didn't get enough? Who didn't get two balls each? Anybody back here? Lots of balls there. Okay, go ahead and stand up. It'll be easier if you stand up with this, unless you need to sit down. I did this with a seniors group a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazed how many were having a hard time just tossing it and catching it. Just try that. Just toss the ball and catch it. If you can't do it, don't feel bad at all. Just realize that when you were a kid, probably that was easy. All right, so now try the left hand now. Do the other ball with the left hand. Okay, now try it where you toss right hand, and as soon as you catch it, toss left hand. Just kind of like a pendulum action there. Okay, now try, if you can, if you can do this, toss this one up this way, toss that one up that way, catch and catch. Chad, show us if you would there. Toss and toss and catch and catch. Toss right hand, catch left hand, toss left hand, catch right hand. Okay, and after you get good at that, and of course this takes practice, this all takes practice, coordination is very much learned activity. What do you think your brain is doing right now? Your brain is saying, we're using parts of our brain we haven't used since we were back in grade school. And the brain's liking that. Why don't we do this as we keep on getting older and older and older? No, it can't be time when you're retired. Don't give me that time thing. Are the things that we're good at the things we like to do?
Yes.
The things that we're bad at, we tend to avoid. I will never get up front in church to play my violin. Why? I look like a fool. So when you ask some kid to do some physical activity where he hasn't learned the coordination and the speed and the power and all those things, then the kid tends to want to sit off to the side and let somebody else do it. So it's really important. Really important, and thank goodness we've gotten past this. Back when I was a kid, competitive sports in our church was very, very marginal at best. Well, now we do play competitive sports, and we develop these skills. But don't feel badly about the fact that you don't have the coordination you used to have. At your point, I don't think you're out to impress anybody, except for Kaylee. She's young enough to still impress. At our point, when we get older, we do this for the sake of our health. Chad's going to show us what three-ball juggling looks like. Just blow your wife ball there if you would. So once you get good at it, you can start doing it that way, and it's amazing how the body can learn that information. Here's one other one, and I have a whole bunch of other stuff up here too I was going to have you do, but time will be a factor. I bought these dowels for you. How many can balance a stick on your finger? Like that. Okay? That's something that, you saw what he was doing in that video? He had it in his mouth and a little wooden block on the end. Incredible development of balance there. Oh, incredible. I mean, I guarantee you, unless you practice that before, none of you could do that today. I can't do it. Grab some of this stuff. One other thing that he showed in there that kids love to do this with rackets. Get yourself an old racket and just practice flipping it and catching it. Flipping it and catching it. Tremendous eye-hand coordination involved. And don't think of this as being kid stuff. Think of this as being life stuff. And the more we do these kinds of activities, the more we're going to start to reverse the aging process. It is said that we cannot stop how much we age. We age one day at a time. But we can certainly slow down how old we get. We get old by our mind, we get aged by our chronological progression of one day after another. So we're supposed to end at 1:45, which is in about 4 minutes. I did want you guys to try some of this stuff. One thing I was going to have you do, I didn't know how big a crowd we'd have, was going to move the tables back, have us sit in a circle. And how many here play Scrabble with your friends? Okay, I would suggest that you play Scrabble for half an hour and then find some of these games to play. But why not have a circle and get these tennis balls and you get close to the target and you toss it into the target and you move back and see if you can get the farthest back from the target. What would be wrong with having old folks playing slaps? Wear a pair of gloves if you don't like the pain that you feel from it. What would be wrong with old folks trying to do a game? How many here have played pickleball before? I played this morning. I played with some. I'm the second youngest person there, I'm happy to say. But we played pickleball. Pickleball is a game. I bought some paddles here. It's like tennis on a badminton court. And then those wiffle balls back there is what we use. We were going to try some of this stuff as well. But pickleball is a huge game. Huge game. It's massive. It started out as a game for elementary school kids. And the seniors found out that it was much easier than tennis. And those guys down there in the snowbird parts of the world, they play 14 hours a day, just live and breathe the game. Tremendous coordination, tremendous agility, tremendous timing. The list goes on and on and on and on. Walking is important. What's that?
I actually do.
Pickleball is that you put the badminton net down like a tennis net, use a badminton court, and play like tennis. So I would encourage you to do what this guy does, is find ways to incorporate not just cardiovascular fitness, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, but find ways to do agility and speed and balance. You know, how many times have you ever done, instead of walking up the steps, try a two-foot hop up the steps? Where's my step here? I brought you a step here. There it is. This is a little bit higher step than I would recommend you try when you're first starting out. But when you're going, when you're walking on the camp here now, you hang on to the banister. This is power. When I step up like that, that's not power. That's strength. When I go like this and jump up, that's power. So even just try one step. Find things throughout the day. Bounce on one foot. Swat flies. Toss a rock in the air and catch it. Try hitting find a place where it's safe. How many here when you were a kid threw rocks at fence posts? Well, now you can't even throw a snowball at school anymore. So now, of course, it's against the rule to hit targets. But find ways to incorporate as many of these components as you possibly can. And you're free to come up here and try some of this stuff. I did tell them I'd be finished by 2:15 so we get ready for lunch. But hopefully we'll see most of you tomorrow when Ruben is here. And hopefully you learned something today that would be valuable and maybe somewhat new to you. Question? It's on YouTube. Do you know YouTube? I don't know if he has it. I mean, nowadays videos are almost obsolete, but if you can get somebody that can show you on YouTube, he's got a whole bunch of videos on there. But I say, I'm going to be getting him, doing my best to get him to come to CUC and do a live presentation this fall. So if you're in the area, hopefully we'll get the word out to you.
So what would you look for on YouTube?
All right. Thank you. On YouTube, just go in and type in Never Leave the Playground or Steven Jepson, you'll get him.
Oh, here we'll get it.
Go ahead and try some of this balancing stuff here too if you like.
Where's that board?
Oh, this board? That's a wobbly one.
Can I have one of the
tennis balls? Pardon me?
Can I have one of the tennis balls?
Yep. Oh, if you came in late, here's a schedule of the presenters. Tomorrow's Ruben. I'll leave them over here on the table. Can you make sure they get one? Oh, thank you. Can you make sure they get one for the... what's this for?
These need to be filled out.
Oh.
So that we have permission to do that. So we need to choose.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can you make sure the office gets one of those? Or should I take it over there?
No, as soon as you do that, I'll take it over there.